Hi, this is Melissa. Today I'll be reading from Ann Tyler's Digging to America, starting on the bottom of page 178, the very last line. "You act as if you think you're so right that you don't need to bother arguing," he said. She said, "I do?" And now she gave him a full-on stare of surprise. "It's as if you think, oh, these cloddish Americans, what do they know about anything? I don't think any such thing." "It's harder than you realize, being American," he told her. "Don't suppose we aren't aware of how we appear to the rest of the world. Times I used to travel abroad, I'd see those tour groups of my countrymen and flinch, even though I knew I looked pretty much the same. That's the hell of it. We're all lumped in together. We're all on this big same ship, so to speak, and wherever the ship goes, I have to go, even if it's behaving like some grade school bully. It's not as if I can just jump overboard, you know." "Whereas we Iranians, on the other hand," Mariam said wryly, "are invariably perceived as our unique and separate selves." He said, "Well," he felt slightly foolish. He knew he had overreacted. "Did you see how people edged away from Sami and Ziba at me at the airport tonight?" "No, you probably didn't. You wouldn't even have noticed. But that's what it's been like ever since September 11th. "Oh," she said, "sometimes I get so tired of being foreign, I want to lie down and die. It's a lot of work being foreign. Work. A lot of work and effort, and we still never quite managed to fit in. Susan said this past Christmas, she rode home with me after school one day, and she said, 'I wish we could celebrate Christmas the way other people do. I don't like being different,' she said. It broke my heart to hear that." "Well," Dave said. He spoke cautiously, not wanting to call forth another of Mariam's looks. Maybe you could let her have a tiny little Christmas tree. Would that be a problem?" "She did have a tree," Mariam said. They were entering the city now, and she glanced into her side view mirror, checking for a chance to switch lanes. "She had a huge tree. That much we could do for her." "Then, I don't know, decorations? A wreath, a string of lights?" "Of course. Also mistletoe." "Ah, and would it go against your beliefs to give her a few small presents?" "She received dozens of presents, and gave them." "She did," he said. He was quiet for a moment. "A stocking, maybe," he said at last. "Did she hang a stocking?" "Oh, yes." "And how about the caroling? I mean, not the more religious carols, of course, but maybe Jingle Bells and Good King Wenceslas, and let's see, I saw three ships." "She went caroling with the next door neighbors. They walked up and down her street, singing every carol there is, Baby Jesus and all." "Well, then," he said, "not quite sure. But in the car that day, she told me, it's not the same. It doesn't feel the same. It's not like a real Christmas." He started laughing. "Oh, for goodness sake," he said. "You're talking about every child in this country." She braked for a light and looked over at him. He said, "You don't think that's what all of them say? They say, other families celebrate better. On TV, it seems much better. In my mind, it was going to be better. That's just Christmas. That's how it works. They have these idealized expectations." She did seem to get his point, he saw. Something seemed to clear in her forehead. "The kid's 100% American," he said. She smiled and started driving again. For the rest of the way, they rode in silence that Dave didn't try to break, because she seemed deep in thought. At red light, she tapped her fingernail against the steering wheel, as if keeping time with some private dialogue, and as she slowed in front of Brad and Bitsy's house, she said, "You're right, of course." "I am? I am far too sensitive about my foreignness." "What? Wait, that's not what I said." But she nodded slowly. "I make too much of it," she said. She had brought the car to a stop now, but she left the engine running, so he gathered she would not be coming in. She stayed facing forward, gazing out the window shield. "One could even call it self-pity," she said, "a trait that I despise." "I would never say that. You don't have an ounce of self-pity." "No, you see," she said, "you can get in a, what would you call it, a mindset about these things. You can start to believe that your life is defined by your foreignness. You think everything would be different if only you belonged." "If only I were back home," you say. "And you forget that you wouldn't belong there either after all these years. It wouldn't be home at all anymore." Her words struck Dave as profoundly sad, but her voice was cool and her profile remained impassive. A yellow glow kept flickering across her face as guests passed between the car and the front walkway lamp. Dave said, "Mariam." She turned and observed him from a distance, it seemed, her expression friendly but contemplative. "You belong," he told her. "You belong just as much as I do, or who, or Bitsy, or It's just like Christmas. We all think the others belong more.